From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. For thousands of years, people have been catching rainwater and reusing this precious resource. It's called rainwater catchment, and it's often done from the roof of buildings. The recycled water has a variety of uses. In fact, some supermarkets in England use it for flushing their toilets, and others use it to recharge aquifers. And for those backyard gardeners, the water is often used to water their plants. It saves money and it saves the planet one drop at a time. So here to tell us more is Nikki Dryden, the owner and operator of Split Pea Edible Landscaping. She'll be holding a class next week as part of the Ada Soil and Water Conservation District's gardening workshops. And joining Nikki is Jessica Harold, the district's program coordinator, who has tried this in her own backyard garden. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Thanks so much for having us.
So, Nikki, let's start the conversation with you. Tell us a little bit more about rainwater catchment. What is it exactly, and how does it work?
Oh, what a great question. Well, in short, rainwater catchment is responsible resource utilization. It's the process of capturing and directing and utilizing rainwater on our properties to reduce runoff and avoid wasting, as you said, this valuable resource, and helping recharge our aquifers. So it goes across the board with several different benefits. The stormwater that isn't captured and utilized then has potential to run over to these impermeable, polluted, paved areas like streets and driveways and sidewalks, and then flows through our drain systems into our rivers and other waterways, polluting them, and then also causing flooding and erosion. But capturing and utilizing that rainwater allows us to put it to use in our landscapes and help replenish the aquifer at the same time.
So, Nikki, what exactly got you interested in harvesting rainwater?
Living in a desert and pooling water, feeling like it's just running off and wasting into nothingness, and, you know, high water bills. And I'm pretty nerdy, self-proclaimed nerdy about this stuff. And so, resource utilization has always kind of been at the heart of myself. And so this was the next obvious step for me 20-something years ago in small baby step form.
So tell us about your company, Split Pea.
Yeah, Split Pea is a design through build landscaping company that utilizes earth first processes and permaculture principles to create responsible habitat spaces for people and beneficial insects and wildlife. And we kind of work as a whole to create a long-term relationship with folks where we work towards encouraging them to utilize resources that are on site and build closed loop systems within their personal spaces.
So, Jessica, as I mentioned at the beginning, you've actually done some rainwater catchment yourself. So what got you interested and started in using this process?
Nikki, actually, because she's such a great resource, always throwing out ideas and how to really capture what we have on our property. So just kind of getting inspired through all of the work that she's done in her own garden, which she shares all the time, and thinking like, hey, you know, this is a lot of rainwater that's hitting my roof that is really just kind of watering the pavement right now. So looking at ways to better utilize it and to just kind of help our yard and our garden. And we have a lot of, you know, really water thirsty trees. So trying to, instead of drawing from the aquifer, using the rainwater to be more responsible about our water usage.
So, Nikki, I would think that this idea must have quite a bit of appeal to gardeners, these backyard gardeners in particular, because rainwater, I'm assuming, is pretty clean, right? You don't have like anything maybe chlorinated that might come out of your hose. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, I hear a lot of concern, like with the initial storm that happens and water being collected off your rooftop. But for the most part, unless you have a brand new roof and you've got a lot of particles coming off the running off at the same time, the roof is full of dust and pollen, you know, for the most part. And so it's fairly clean, and you don't have to worry about chlorine or anything that's coming through. If you have a flood irrigation, if you have water rights for flood irrigation, you don't have to worry about being down the line from that. There's plenty of things you can do if you are concerned about what's coming off the roof to put in filtering systems and biochar systems, but it just doesn't have to be that complicated yet if you don't want it to be.
Well, and Nikki, I would think there are some other benefits too, right? Can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, I'm thinking it's free because it's rain. But what about this idea of conservation as well?
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, this is really at the core of it, because we have these booming communities that are booming with growth. And so that the demand on our water use is really, really high. So, and we're taking more than can be replenished by the sky, by us, by anything. And our wells are drying up. Last information I got, which is a couple of years old now, there's over 300,000 people and 2 million agriculture acres that rely on the water in the aquifer for drinking water or to irrigate their ag land. So the very least we can do is try to replenish what we can from what we're taking. And then storing and utilizing that rainwater when it's available reduces the need to draw from our city water into our landscapes from our municipal systems, which lowers the demand there and our water bills, which is really a key thing for a lot of folks, obviously.
So, Jessica, what benefits have you found personally from caching rainwater?
I just love that I'm better able to utilize it with our water system. So before it was just kind of running off into the driveway. And now with our rain barrel system, we're able to redirect it to the lawn. We're not pulling up the water from the aquifer just because I do live in South Boise, which is a really big concern for me since the wells were drying up. We do live in a more rural area with a well and a septic system and everything. So trying to be really responsible about our water usage. And I'm really excited this year we're looking at capturing rainwater off of our barn to use for livestock and just trying to be more thoughtful about it overall. We're trying to do our part to be a good neighbor and use other resources other than the aquifer to water all of these outdoor spaces, which they're really nice to have, but they're very weird in a high desert climate. And so it feels weird to be watering a bunch of lawn when we're constantly experiencing drought. So really, it's just the long-term thinking for me and hoping that everybody is really thinking about how they're using this resource too and how we can all work together to be really responsible about our water usage as a community so we don't have to be heavily regulated in the future.
Mm-hmm. So Nikki, in the beginning, I mentioned that some places actually use this water, you know, for toilets, for flushing their toilets. And I also read you can use it in your swimming pool, right? But where else could someone use this captured rainwater?
It can be used for habitat space. Like if you have ducks, creating a holding tank or a holding pond. I have ducks at my house and we utilize rainwater runoff to fill up their ponds. Jess was talking about using it for livestock off the barn.
So Nikki, let's talk about how you can do this then, because you use a rain barrel. So what is a rain barrel? And honestly, I mean, how easy or difficult is this to install yourself and do this?
When you look at these systems or you dive down the rabbit hole of research on this, it can be really overwhelming. But I'm more of a meet folks where they're at kind of a gal. And so I encourage people to start small. Maybe you have a drip coming off of your gutters. And you put a bucket there. See how much you capture in your bucket and water your house plants, water your, you know, your greenhouse plants, water anything, your trees underneath your trees that have been protected, evergreens that have been protected from snow. Getting started is really pretty easy if you don't go down the rabbit hole just yet. And it really starts with observing and taking notes. Where is that water coming from? Where is it? Is it coming from gutters or roofs, or is my driveway filling off and running off? Do you have, or filling up and running off? Is there pooling in places? Is it dry in places? Where's snow melting fastest and not melting at all, you know? And then where do you need the water to go? Do you need it to go to your garden? Do you need it to go to dry spots in the lawn? Do you need it to go under trees? And then from there, you can assess what you can capture. And then that's what allows you to decide what kind of a system do I need to put in place. But you don't have to dive headfirst into these giant in-ground or above-ground holding tanks or collection ponds. You can start with a bucket and a drip or a rain barrel attached to your downspout, a single downspout even with an overflow spout coming off of that. If that's intimidating, you can even start with something like flexible corrugated tubing at the bottom of your downspout where you're actively directing water until you feel like you can bite off a little bit more of a rainwater catchment system. It's really about getting water put in the right place while you're figuring out and navigating and observing what's happening within your property.
Well, I want to thank both of you so much for taking time to talk to us today. We've been talking with Nikki Dryden. She's the owner and operator of Split Pea Edible Landscaping, and she'll be holding a class March 26th that's called Catch It While You Can, Making the Most of What We Get with Rainwater Catchment. It is part of the Ada Soil and Water Conservation District's gardening workshops. Also joining Nikki was Jessica Harold, the district's program coordinator. Again, I want to thank both of you so very much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.